I grew up in the pizza business where they did everything with hot water, right? Back in the day, we made dough, we made with warm water. They sit it there and they let it proof. Then they push it down and proof again. And that's how we did the dough back in the 70s and 80s. Now we've learned that dough making is just a science. So it's time, temperature, and, you know, consistency.
A Chicago kid who started cooking at 14 now has decades of experience and the confidence to run three pizza shops around Chicago, making close to a half dozen different styles of pizza. And here's the kicker. He doesn't even have a deep dish on his menu. That starts next month, and we have an exclusive preview. The story behind Panino's Pizza, straight ahead.
Straight fry pepperoni.
I need a deep dish pepperoni and a thin sausage to go.
Can I get two cheesivores and one Detroit?
Can I get one large pep, one large sausage, and one large pep special?
This is Pizza City, the podcast dedicated to the art, craft, and passion behind the world's greatest pizzas. I'm Steve Dolinsky, author of Pizza City USA, The Ultimate Chicago Pizza Guide, and founder of Pizza City Tours and Pizza City Fest. And welcome, everybody. Great to have you along with us for another edition of Pizza City. Happy holidays. Hope you're getting into the holiday spirit, supporting your local pizzerias, of course. We are back in Chicago this week, where most pizzerias tend to focus on one style of pie. Some will offer two. On rare occasions, you'll see three styles. And, of course, I'm talking about tavern, deep, and stuffed. But Lenny Rago isn't like most pizza makers in Chicago. His 40-plus years of experience in the kitchen have given him the confidence to offer nearly a half dozen types of pizza, Sicilian, Grandma, New York Slice, Chicago Thin, among several others, and the guy doesn't even have a deep dish on the menu, at least not yet. It's coming soon. He's now got three locations, one in the city, two in the suburbs, and I met him at the Mothership in Evanston, not far from Northwestern University's campus, to see him make two of his favorite styles. We started off, as we always do, by asking our guest about his first pizza memory.
Fond memory is, you know, my mother making pizzas in the home kitchen, and she would take a square pan, would take the dough, and it would just be simple as possible. It would just be the dough, simple tomato sauce, mozzarella cheese, and she would bake it off.
Kind of like a grandma style.
Kind of a grandma style. That's why we have our pizza on our menu called the grandma style.
So where would that have been? Where were you growing up?
I grew up in Chicago. So I grew up on Cumberland and Irving and Addison on the north side.
So that was, I mean, typically if you went out for pizza, you would be having tavern style, I'm guessing.
No, we never went out for pizza, Steve.
You never went out for pizza?
If it was, it's because my dad worked at Nick's La Cantina, where we got our first you know, that's where I started working when I was 14 years old. That's where we would go, and we'd go on a Sunday night, like late, and we'd go eat in there. But that would be the only time we'd ever go out for pizza. We would never go out for pizza. My mom would always make it.
So is that where your interest in pizza started when you were 14 years old then, working in a restaurant?
No, I actually hated it. I went in there and answered phones, did everything, and started, and then we'd prep, and then we'd learn. Then I got on the pizza line, and then we did it. And I'm like, you know, I was, you know, 15, 16 is like the prime of my life. So I was working while everybody else is having fun. So it kind of like bothered me.
With the benefit of hindsight, you probably look back and say, I've got so many more years on most people in terms of experience, right?
Yeah, I do. I have like 40 years and I'm only 54.
Were you working in restaurants? Did you want to go to culinary school? Like, how did you figure out you wanted to do this for a living?
Actually, no, I did not want to go to culinary school. I actually went to heating and air conditioning school, refrigeration. So that's my background, is I got a degree in that.
Well, heating's important for pizza, but yes, continue.
Yes.
It's a joke.
It's nice to have all the elements down where you can fix your own stuff, you know, refrigeration. I mean, it's everything that I got to do is tied in with pizza.
Oh, you save money then when you have a repair in the restaurant.
Yes, I go up on the roof, I change my own filters, my belts, and then we fix things. And, you know, sometimes it gets a little complicated. Now they got all these new, you know, for refrigeration systems with this different gas in there that we can't really work on anymore unless we go back to school. But the older stuff, yes, we can. I did that in my early 20s. And then about 25 years old, we went to work for a food distributor, sort of like, you know, a Cisco, a Greco. It was actually a Greco. I worked with Eddie Greco hand in hand. And I learned the distributor side of it and how to, you know, buy and sell and do all that stuff. And then I did that for like 4 or 5 years. And then I wanted to go back into the my own business.
And when you're in your 20s in Chicago, where were you going for pizza? Just, I mean, as an Italian kid.
I really didn't venture out for pizza. I mean, like if I was on a date or something, we'd always go to the, you know, the Uno's, the Gino's East, the Illuminati's, and, you know, the basics, because everybody's like, hey, you got to go there. But I'm like, man, I'm not a fan of that style pizza. I'm a fan of the thin crust. So when I was like 25, we decided to open our own place. We opened up in North Everson by Ryan Field. It was called Dyke Stadium at the time, and now it changed to Ryan. And we opened up just a panini place. It was called Panino's. You know, we're like, let's bring some pizza into this. And it grew, and people loved it, and people wanted more and more and more. So, hence the name why we're called Panino's, but our biggest seller here is pizza.
Now, was that because you were on the heart of Northwestern's campus and you're in the middle of a bunch of college kids and, like, pizza just resonates with them maybe more than paninis?
No, because if you go back to 1997 when we started and you look at how many pizza places were in Evanston, there wasn't very many. Three styles. We did thin crust, stuffed, and our pan pizza.
Interesting. You thought that there was a demand for stuff because people knew so much about Giordano's by then?
Well, Giordano's was there too, by the way. And no, we just wanted to just offer different style pizzas. And it was the three that we chose at the time. And then as we started developing into, you know, going to trade shows and going in, we started learning the other aspects of, you know, how could we grow this business in pizza? And, you know, because that was our passion. So that's when we discovered, let's do what we did at home, grandma style.
How did you teach yourself all these different styles? Because, I mean, you had some experience with home cooking, you had some experience working with a distributor and maybe in a restaurant, but, like, you weren't experts on all three styles.
No, we were not, but, you know, we use one dough for all those three styles, which is crazy. My brother, we call him the mad scientist, he's the one that creates, you know, he goes behind the scenes and he'll develop all these recipes and studies all this stuff, you know, just via internet. Or just talking to other people in our travels. When we go to Italy, you know, we travel all over it. So we, you know, that's where we grab the yeast and the mother yeast, and we started making our Neapolitans, and we make our own version of it, which is, we call it artisan style. We don't call it Neapolitan because it's not really Neapolitan. The grandma, you know, I kind of have my own method of making my grandma style, and then my deep dish that I won in 2022 at the Rosemont show. I have not even put it on the menu yet, but we're gonna try that today.
Okay, so you mentioned the Rosemont show. You mentioned your competition. I want to ask you about this. Mm-hmm. You are known now, I think, around the country for all the competitions you do. I see, you know, sometimes you wear a chef's jacket with, like, you look like a NASCAR driver. You got all kinds of patches on you. You've won different things. You enter so many different contests, Pizza Expo, even different regional expos. Where did this come from? And isn't that just a distraction for you?
No, actually, it's been beneficial to our brand. In 2015 or 14, someone came up to us and said, hey, you know, the U.S. pizza team is looking for qualified culinary people because we have all the acrobatics and we have all that. So we're lacking the culinary side of it. And my brother said, okay, we'll give it a shot. He goes, you know what, let me just go to Italy and see what, you know, how it is out there. So he did it, and I didn't want any part of it at first. I'm like, yeah, you know, I don't want to go travel and do all that stuff. Well, I went to my first competition in Cleveland, and I won it with a burrata pizza. And I was like, okay, this is fun. So I started doing it and started doing it. And then, you know, just different companies now have come to us since we've won all these. We've won, I think, 12 first place.
And, wow.
Yeah. And then there's a Chicago place, which is we're very under the radar here in Chicago. You know, when there's a news and a press release, it's always the big ones out there. But it's never, you know, Panino's. It's, you know, but I'm okay with that because we're doing well. I can't complain. And, you know, people out there that really know us know that we have a great product. And all those jackets and stuff, those are all my sponsors now. So I get sponsored. So, you know, I've got Galbani, I've got Margarita, Pepperoni. They pay for us to go teach now. And I don't compete anymore because now I'm just doing seminars like we did a couple years ago, you and I. Yeah. And I'm like, my goal back then was to make sure Tavern Style was made aware around the country, and it's working.
It is working. Do you make your dough at home here or in the restaurant and then bring it with you? Do you make it out there? Like, because sometimes you need to let it proof for a day or two.
Yeah, it depends on, like, you know, when I'm in Italy, we'll make it there. If we're here and we're going to Vegas, sometimes I can bring it with me with a 1 day, two, because I like to have a 2 day cold ferment. So sometimes I'll bring it there, but it's hard to make there because the water is different. You got to use bottled water when you go up. Well, even in Italy, we don't use the tap water. We use bottled water.
That's a real hurdle.
Yeah, it is a real hurdle. But here in Chicago, we want the water here. So sometimes we'll smuggle a bottle on a plane.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So you've got three locations, all right? City, which is in Lakeview on the north side. You've got here in Evanston. We're about a mile from Northwestern's campus. And you got Park Ridge, which is kind of northwestern suburbs in Chicago, right?
Correct. Those are the three locations. This is our flagship.
You do Neapolitan, you do Grandma, and you do Deep.
So here we do Thin Crust, Pan, Sicilian, Grandma, Stuffed, New Haven, Detroit.
Sounds like Tony Gimignani's place.
Yeah. Well, we're the only first ones to do that out here, and we're still doing it.
Not using the same dough anymore for everything.
No. Now we have three different.
Okay, so we're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, I want to see you make a pie, but you were saying you're going to make two. Mm-hmm. Which two do you want to show me how to make?
I'm going to do the deep dish that's not on our menu, but I want you to give it a shot. I want you to try it. But then I'm going to do our just a traditional tavern sausage and giardiniera pizza.
Fantastic. All right, when we come back, Lenny's going to make two different pies, the Tavern and the Deep. That's very Chicago, of course. We're also going to preview some scenes from our next show coming up in 2 weeks, so stay with us.
Pizza City is brought to you by Grande Cheese. Any pizza maker will tell you, besides the crust, the cheese is the most important part of the pie. So why not use the best? Grande was founded in 1941 by Filippo Candela. He had moved to Wisconsin from Italy to pursue his passion for cheesemaking. He named the company Grande because it's the Italian word for greatness. Grande secures milk from local dedicated family farms. They work closely with them to help them monitor cow health and milk quality. Plus, their cheeses are all natural. That means their mozzarella has only four ingredients: pasteurized milk, cheese culture, salt, and enzymes. They produce a full line of Italian cheeses, not only part skim and whole milk mozz, but also ricotta, provolone, parmesan, and romano, sold as loaves, shreds, dices, and slices. Robert Garvey is the owner and pizzaiolo at Robert's Pizza and Dough Company in Chicago. Named recently as one of the top 50 pizzerias in the world, he goes through thousands of balls of mozzarella every week.
The Grande mozzarella is on 99% of our pizzas. And it really, no matter what kind of ingredients we put on it, everything from duck to short rib to classics like sausage and pepperoni, it works. And it works really well.
So use the cheese the best pizza makers use. Request a sample at grandecheese.com or give them a call at 1-800-8-GRANDE. That's 1-800-8-GRANDE. Your pies will never look and taste so good.
Welcome back to the show. We're here with Lenny Rago, also known as Leonardo Rago. That's his full name on his jacket here, sponsored by Galbani, looks like. You're going to make a deep dish for us first. You're pressing the dough along the inner wall of this deep pan, pressing it up along the edges, but the middle sits obviously quite lower. Can you tell us a little bit about the flour?
So the flour is our artisan-style flour that we use. There's a blend of oils that we put in there, and I have a little bit of semolina and some cornmeal as well inside.
You got to have oil. That helps it stretch a little bit, right?
Yes. You got to have a lot of oil.
That's what my understanding was, that Alice Mae Redmond, who was Dewey's and then later at Geno's East, had started adding more oil to the dough to get it, because she couldn't get it to pan out fast enough.
Right. Because if you don't, it's just going to bounce back on you, right? Yeah. So how I look at this pizza deep dish is, it's more of a croccante, which I call it a crunchy style flavor. And if you know the Italian tarale, you know what I'm talking about. If you know tarale, the little
cookie?
The cookie is like a, it's got a little white wine, flour, water. It's really simple, and they boil it, and then it's crunchy. This reminds me of that. So this is what I kind of took the recipe from my mother and kind of modified it to where it was my style of deep dish.
You're adding slices of mozz here. Can you want to name check? I'm guessing Galbani, because you're wearing a Galbani jacket.
Yes, this is Galbani.
Okay, so then it looks like about a 1 ounce slice.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and you're just covering every part of the bottom dough here. In New York, they call that an upside down. Hand into the sausage mound.
Sausage mound that we make our own.
Okay, so fat and fennel.
It's our own blend.
Pinching and pressing.
So we get every nook and cranny so that all these fats from the sausage flow into the cheese and go into the crust.
And they're about the size of maybe like a thumb, I'm guessing, yeah?
We want them a little smaller. We don't want them larger because this is a deep, thick pizza, so it needs time to cook.
Okay.
This is a blend of California tomatoes. Again, we have our own spice packs, which we sell through Greco, actually, and anybody can buy them.
Do you want to name check your sauce company?
Oh, yeah, sure. It's Stanislaus.
Stanislaus, okay. Yeah. Alta Cucina's?
No, this is not Alta Cucina's. It's Tomato Magic.
Tomato Magic, okay.
Magic and a Saporito.
And do you, blender?
No, we just hand crush it, add our spice pack to it, and that's it.
Okay. And now you're going to put some gloves on. Is that because you want to spread it with your hands?
Yes, because I want to get it in every nook and cranny.
Okay. You've probably got about, it looks like a cup, maybe a cup and a half of sauce on there.
Yeah, this is about a 4 ounce, so maybe like 6.5 ounces, 7 ounces.
Okay, and then, by the way, this pan is 14 inch?
This is a 12 inch, actually.
12, God, I'm terrible at reading sizes. Okay, so you're pressing it, the sauce down now over the sausage.
Yep.
Into all the nooks and crannies, up to the edge. Yep. And again, the edge of the dough is just kind of protruding up along the side of the inner walls.
Yep.
Okay, and now what?
We're gonna add little Parmesan and Romano blend with a little oregano in there.
That's it, okay, into the, your Baker's Pride deck oven.
Yep. This is about 500 degrees.
How long?
25.
How long?
And it'll be about 25 minutes.
At 525?
Yep.
Okay.
And now we're going to do the tavern stuff.
Now the tavern. Okay. You've already sheeted some dough out.
Yep.
Same dough? Same flour?
Same dough.
Okay. What's
No, different dough. That's a different dough. The deep dish is a different dough.
Got to be.
This is the same as our pan, our stuffed, and our Sicilian style.
Okay. Now, can you talk about your flour company?
Okay. This flour company is, what's the name? It's Heritage Flour we use.
Heritage. Okay.
Heritage Flour. It's a European blend.
Okay.
And it's got no bromate and no bleach in there. So it's an all-natural product.
I didn't ask you about it. With the deep, do you do like an overnight proof?
That's a two-day proof.
Two-day, okay.
Two-day proof on the deep dish.
Interesting. Okay, what about this one?
This one is a two-day cold ferment. Not as...
After you've sheeted it or before?
Before we sheeted it.
Okay, so then you sheeted it just now.
Right.
It's round. It's about 12 inches.
Yeah.
Here comes the sauce. Different sauce? Same sauce?
No, different sauce. This is more pure. This is the one we purify a little bit. And then it's a different spice blend.
I can see like chili, like seeds in there.
We put Romano cheese in.
Sauce all the way to the edge on this one, or you're leaving a little bit of a border?
All the way to the edge. I don't like to go heavy on the edge.
Yeah, very light on the edge and a little bit thicker in the middle, looks like.
Yep. Same thing. We're going to pinch some sausage on it.
All right. Pinch some sausage. It is just a mass of sausage. And he's reaching in there with his hand and grabbing a fistful. Then he takes a little bit of the sauce to kind of press on his other hand, and that helps him pinch and press.
It's raw, rustic, and this is pork butts. And not most of the companies are going to give you pork trimmings, and it's a better quality of pork.
Then the cheese?
Jardiniera.
Jardiniera, okay. Do you use a particular type of jardiniera?
So it's our own blend. It's called Via Pizzeria blend. We have it made. I mean, no secret.
Looks like the one I see at Johnny's on their beefs.
Yeah, it's probably the same company. And everybody.
Because the carrots are cut a certain way into like batons.
We use a formella blend.
Okay, formella. So there's sport pepper, there's cauliflower, there's carrots, there's a little red pepper.
So now we're going to add the shredded cheese. We buy this in block from Galbani, and then we shred it ourselves. And we feel that that's works best for us because the melting, the way it melts is key.
Low moisture mutts?
Both. Whole and mutt.
Oh, okay, mix it,
so
okay.
The milk, the whole milk for flavor.
These are thick shreds, very thick shreds.
5/16 shred.
5/16, okay, we're going to be specific about it, all right.
Yep, we're going to be specific, and we're going to go all the way to the edge on this.
And this is, again, 5 1/4 oven.
This is 5 1/4 oven, and it's a Baker's Pride deck oven.
For about, 12 minutes?
Probably, 12 minutes.
All right, here we go.
And slide this in. And the cornmeal never came off, see that?
Cornmeal never came off. So
that's
the cornmeal.
Pizzaiola.
What?
That's a good pizzaiola when that happens.
So you always want cornmeal underneath your tavern styles.
Slide.
Yeah. To slide off.
And
great.
It gives a little bit of that crunch.
I love it. All right. Take a quick music interlude. When we come back, we'll have two pizzas. Oh, God, that looks great. Here comes the tavern thin. And really
we
kind
call
of...
call it thin crust.
You call it thin crust.
Yes.
Okay.
Tavern is more really like paper thin. Paper thin, right?
Okay.
I mean...
Yeah. So you don't call this a Chicago thin?
We call this a Chicago thin crust.
Okay, because people would say that's a tavern style. But okay, you're going to cut this into squares, though?
Yes, we're going to cut this in squares, but and you can hear the crunch.
Yeah, definitely hear it.
There at the crunch.
Beautiful. Okay. Right. Onto a dimpled pan. I like that, just like Home Run Inn does, to elevate the pie a little bit.
Yep. All the juices go underneath.
Okay, so let's talk about this tavern style, or would you call, I'm sorry, thin crust. We're going to get into hair-splitting territory here because, yes, it's cut into squares. Yes, it's crispy. Yes, it's got sausage and chardonnay on it. And looking at it, you go, oh, tavern style. But it is a little bit thicker than your prototypical textbook tavern style. It's not cracker thin. It's not like a Pat's or a Vito and Nick's. But it's delicious and it's fantastic and it's got great flavor and I love the combination of everything on top of it. And it's a, I would say this is a Chicago thin pizza.
It is a Chicago thin pizza. It's not like your cracker thin, but we do have the option to go extra thin where it then becomes that cracker style.
Do you give guests that option?
Oh yeah. And they do it a lot. Not as much as this though.
So how does that come up? Like they say, I want a thin pizza or I want a, will they specify tavern or will you say, hey, you know, I know you ordered a thin, but if you want, we can make it tavern style.
They pretty much will tell you. Extra thin, well done. That's
extra thin, well done.
Yep, that's their key.
This is delicious.
This is our
little bit of cornmeal, coarse cornmeal underneath it to give it some extra little, I like little flavor, corn flavor. Very crunchy. Stays crunchy because you're serving it on the dimpled pan.
Mm-hmm. And all the juices go on the bottom, as you see.
I don't like this pizza in a box 10 minutes later. I want to have it like in the dining room only.
That's why we have the dining room here. You come inside and eat it.
Very good call. This is a great pizza. Let's go back and get the deep dish now. I saw your guy literally flip it out of the pan onto the cardboard.
Right, onto the cutting board. And as you see, it cooked up perfectly golden brown on the bottom. You got a nice color.
Even brown underneath.
Yep. And we're just going to let it sit for 1 second.
Sit for a sec.
We're going to cut it with this knife, and you can hear the crunch.
A little smaller.
It definitely has that crunch.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Not even on our menu yet. Just haven't put it on yet because I have so many other styles of pizza.
It's really juicy. Is that just a lot of sauce?
Just a lot of sauce. And then once it settles in, it'll be good.
So my understanding with deep dish versus deep pan, and I'm certainly happy to be proved or told I'm wrong, deep dish has a sort of a crisp, tender, biscuit-like dough.
Exactly.
It comes up along the side of the wall, and the middle sits a little bit lower, like at Paisano's, like at Lou Malnati's.
Right.
Deep pan, thicker, like bread-like, like focaccia-like, more like Burt's or Pequod's.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
All right, thank you.
You have it down pat. Right?
Okay. All right, so...
And that's our Sicilian, because when we started this, we named it the Sicilian. So when we did the grandma, we couldn't name it the Sicilian because we already had the name already done. It's been 25 years in the making, you know.
Yeah, and the Sicilian's a rectangular or square pan?
Square. That's the one we did at your fest that was a big hit out there.
That was a big hit. Okay, I'm going to let this cool a little bit, or should I just jump into it?
Jump in.
Now, some deep dishes, like at My Pie or at Lou's, you can actually pick up. You don't need a knife and fork.
It depends. Like, I went a little heavier on the ingredients today.
This is a little heavier. I was going to say, it looks a little heavier.
You can pick it up.
Okay. You can pick it up. Oh, yeah, firm crust. Look at that.
Look at that.
All right, I'm going to get a picture of that, too. Okay, so he admittedly says he had a little bit of a heavy hand with the ingredients. But honestly, the OBR, the ratio, is still great. Sausage is just delightful. Lots of fat and fennel. Of course, the great thing about Chicago pizza, that fat renders into the pie. So that's also giving it great flavor. But this bottom crust, Lenny, it maintains its crispness and its firmness because of that layer of mozzarella protecting it from the sauce and the other ingredients, yeah?
The crust did not break down at all, which is... I did about 10 crusts before I finally got this one. I was having ones that were flaking on me and breaking. And then I kind of, the oil ratio was what was off. So by adjusting the oil ratio to where I got it comfortable, where this doesn't happen again. So that's why the crust is staying as firm as it is.
Do you use canola and olive oil?
Canola and corn oil.
Okay. Now, corn, it makes sense. We're in the Midwest. And I like that. I don't need knife and fork, despite the heavier hand with the sauce and cheese. I'm just able to use my hands with this.
Yes, you're able to use your hands. The firmness of the dough is there. Yes, I went a little heavy on the ingredient. Maybe the cheese was a little heavy. Maybe, you know, the slice of the thickness was just more than 1 ounce, probably. And then a little bit heavier on the sauce, but people love the sauce.
But if this was in a rectangular pan, it's no higher than a Sicilian on the East Coast. It's higher than a grandma, probably. But it's crispy like a grandma underneath, but it looks like an upside down at L&B's Pomona Gardens, for example. The cheese down first and then the sauce on top of it, that cheese protecting the bottom, you know, to keep firm. I think on the East Coast, I mean, it's so funny that people would laugh at this because they say, oh, deep dish. And again, they probably think it's stuffed.
Right.
But it's deep dish and it's a crisp, tender dough. And if it were a different shape, if it were not round, if it were rectangular, they would probably welcome it with open arms.
Right. because you're right. They think everything's stuffed here. They think everything's stuffed. And then when they go to eat it, they're amazed. I'm going, okay, it is actually a thin pizza. It just have a lot of, the inside's just, you know, a little heavy on the ingredients. But I'd rather eat this than the stuff because that's two layers of dough.
Yeah. This is, no, without a doubt. This is my preference. Yes. Listen, last question we ask all our guests. Knowing what you know now about pizza making, and certainly you said 40 plus years of doing it, mm-hmm. what would you have told your younger self maybe before you opened up your own place, before 1997? What advice would you have given your younger self to be successful in pizza making?
The knowledge that I have now in the pizza industry, I wish I had back then. I grew up in the pizza business where they did everything with hot water, right? Back in the day, we made dough, we made with warm water. They sit it there and they let it proof, then they push it down, it proof again, and that's how we did the dough back in the 70s and 80s. Now, we've learned that dough making is just a science. So it's time, temperature, and, you know, consistency. And that's what I've learned. And I wish I would have known that when I first started, but over the years, I've developed and learned to not nail it down. But it took me about 10 years before I really got it down. And this is our 27th year in business. So it took us about 10 years. But if I knew that before, my pizza business probably would have grown a lot faster.
Well, the restaurant is called, it's called Panino's. They do more than sandwiches. I did just have an Italian beef sandwich during the break, and it's fantastic. And Lenny said the key is the automatic slicer to keep it really, really thin. That's usually where beef places fail, is the beef is sliced too thick. Called Panino's. There's three locations. As I said, Park Ridge in the suburbs, Evanston here near Northwestern's campus. The closest one, if you're going to be in Chicago, is in Lakeview. It's about a 15-minute cab ride right up Lakeshore Drive from downtown. Lenny Rago, thank you so much. What a pleasure.
Oh, thank you, Steve, for having me, and what a great show you have.
Thanks, buddy.
All right, coming up in 2 weeks, we are in Bourbon Country sipping some Buffalo Trace and diving into a serious pie.
I love our product. Like, when you eat it in-house and you can have, like, that classic Neapolitan experience, but, you know, we'll offer it with aged mozz or fresh mozz so you can kind of, like, choose your own adventure.
I'll talk with the owner behind Pizza Lupo in Louisville. That's in 2 weeks on December 22nd, our final show of the year. God, the year went by fast. Remember to subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts, tell a friend, and rate us, please. Also, a reminder to support the show at anchor.fm/pizzacity. We're at Pizza City USA on Instagram, and our website is pizzacityusa.com. Bureaucratic wrote and performed our theme song, and here's wishing you an optimal bite ratio always.